Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end.
Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome into the Friday edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharsky, Nick Kieser here with you. Kuharsky in for Rex Road again today. PK, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am happy to be here. I'm caffeinated and I'm disappointed in Rex Road. So everything is on track. Big weekend ahead.
Big weekend ahead. No doubt about that. Kieser, fresh off, little sleep. How we doing? What's going on?
Very little sleep indeed. Yeah, I'm good. Glad that we're approaching the weekend.
Guys need to perk it up. Let's go. Come on. People wake up, turn on this show looking for a little energy.
Need some energy in here.
You guys need to bring it. Caffeinate. Get going.
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's something for some energy here. You know, Preds get a point last night. They lose in overtime. Not the real story from the Preds game. Real story from the Preds game. Preds picked a click. Rex Rhodes leading this competition. And Kuharsky's hit rate in this competition, subbing in for Rex Rhodes, I think is like 66%. He's unbelievable
in this
competition.
Easy game. Let me tell you how this game works. You're asked to predict someone who will score, and you predict someone who will score, and then they score. That's what you do. I mean, it's a four. You have a 1 in 4 chance of naming someone who will score. It's an easy game.
Nailed it. Rex Rhodes moves up to 6 correct answers on the year.
Will he be thankful? Will he be grateful? No.
No.
Will I get a text or anything? No.
No. No. And by the way, they tried to take it away from you last night. I mean, Stamkos, wide open net, puts it right in. Official didn't see it. Play just Stamkos standing behind the net like.
NFL caliber officiating.
Yeah, really good stuff going on last night. So, tough loss from the Preds.
You're welcome, Joe. No need to thank me, but you're welcome.
Rex showed 6 correct answers on the year. The listeners on the board last night, too, so congratulations to them. Everybody else is at 3. He's got twice as many as anybody else, and Garcia's got 2 of them.
And I know this team inside out as opposed to the 2 of you.
Absolutely.
Who are, you know, sleepless because you work the game. And, you know, I'm watching Jeopardy with my soon-to-be 90-year-old mom who's visiting and football. So I think you guys need to raise your game. I become a big Jeopardy guy when mom's in town.
Yeah.
And Final Jeopardy yesterday was the Super Bowl was the category.
Oh. Right up your alley.
I crushed it.
We'll take your thoughts throughout the show today on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. We got a lot to get to on the program today. Still, Billy will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him as Kuharsky is, I'm sure, very excited about that coming up at 7 o'clock. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, normally on Thursdays at 8. He will be with us today at 7:30. We'll get into the Will Levis benching and all things NFL. I'm sure the New York Jets Madden story will come up with Charles as well, so looking forward to that. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. So a lot to get to on the program here today. And PK, as you mentioned, a lot going on this weekend. Titans going to the Colts. Preds in action tomorrow taking on the Kings. It's college football playoff. And Tennessee taking on Ohio State in the nightcap tomorrow. Ohio State has been about a touchdown favorite throughout this process here since the matchup has been announced. Apparently, there's going to be a significant number of Tennessee fans in attendance in the building tomorrow. We'll see exactly what that looks like. But the secondary ticket market, they're buying up all these tickets. I think the last time I looked, they had bought like 40% of the tickets on StubHub.
42% of the resale ticket market The tickets have been purchased by Tennessee residents. Yep. Why are Ohio State fans, even if they're expecting to go on a couple trips here because they win, why are they not buying home game tickets?
It's a great question. I think my answer is some of them are so far out on this coach right now that they don't care and they're protesting. Loss. And I do think some of them think, well, you know, it's a college football playoff. We've been here before. There's going to be a lot of trips we have to make. We'll skip out on the home game. We'll go to the Rose Bowl next week. I think there's some of
that. It is the first weekend of these home playoff games, which is a big deal. And if there is, in fact, and I'm not buying it until I see it.
I agree.
I'm not buying it until I see it. But if there's like a visual element, you know, and there's a checker of the shoe thing out there and everything. If there's a visual element of Vols fans in the shoe, I mean, that's going to be quite an embarrassment, isn't it?
I agree. Yeah. I mean, look, clearly there's going to be a significant number of Vols fans there. How much it is, I don't know. But, like, Ohio State is going out of their way to try to convince their fans to stop selling tickets to Tennessee fans. So it's clearly gotten to the point where it's enough, where it's bothering them. What that looks like, I mean, look, there's over 100,000 people in the stadium. So is it 15,000 Tennessee fans? Is it 25,000 Tennessee fans? I mean, that's a heck of a number.
If it's 40,000 Tennessee
that's
fans,
wild.
That's insane.
Yeah. If it's 40,000, that's wild. I'm with
you. If it's 40,000, you know, the case to firing day. If it's 40,000, they need to win the game by 40 points.
Is Vrabel buying up tickets here? It's like just passing them around to his friends, some of the Tennessee residents from Vrabel.
I still don't buy Vrabel.
Rexroth thinks there's a big chance.
Yeah, he's been on that for years. I'm taking Vrabel to Las Vegas. If we had a pool, we're all too lazy to start a pool, but sports writers like to talk about having pools and then not do the pools. I would take Las Vegas. He would take Ohio State. What would you take?
I think I'd probably go Vegas too. I think the NFL makes more sense for him. I'm still not convinced that he loves the idea of the grind that is a college football job, which is year-round. And I know NFL is a year-round job too, but it's different. Like, especially now, you got to recruit, and now you got to re-recruit, and you got to, in some ways, suck up to 18, 19-year-olds, and I just don't know that Vrabel wants to do that.
Yeah. Also, don't do stupid bleep that hurts the team.
Yeah.
Stupid bleep that hurts the team, you know, if you're dealing with 18-year-olds, it seems a lot more likely that you're going to be dealing with that more than from adults who, you know, you can threaten with paycheck problems.
I would agree. Now, maybe it's his dream job. I don't know. I'm leaving the door open for it. But if I had to guess, like, everybody's talking about the Jets right now. The Jets, to me, don't make any sense with the ownership group or with Woody Johnson.
Well, this new story
does not help at all. The other team that a lot of people are talking about in the NFL, Chicago, and they have been such a tire fire. Like, does he want to sign up for that? They got the quarterback, I think, so maybe. And I realize the Raiders have been a tire fire too, but Brady's coming in. I think that's a big deal.
Yeah. I could see Chicago. I could see the appeal of Chicago to go restore a historic franchise that has talent. That's intriguing to me. And the ownership is difficult there in that they consistently haven't got it done.
Yeah.
But they don't have teenagers giving out game balls.
That is true.
So it's a different kind. It's a different kind of ownership issue.
Based off Madden, which is still unbelievable. That made the rounds well after our show yesterday. That's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, some of these owners who are hiring, you know, there's another that thing going around that Mayo in New England, you know. For all the talk about potential one and done here, he's not done a great job, you know. And what's the story of the Patriots season from afar? You know, if you ask me, I'm thinking of that quote, like, I don't control these guys once they get inside the white lines.
Yeah.
Well, who's opposite of that?
Yeah. There's no doubt. No doubt about that.
Now, I would think they'd be patient there. And that he's a guy they expect to grow, much the way the Titans would expect Callahan to grow. But there's some self-indictment going on there, and that's been pretty ugly.
No doubt about it. Then there's the game itself. Can Tennessee win? Can Tennessee go on the road and take down Ohio State? Ohio State, obviously, they're coming off an ugly loss to Michigan. They are still, if you look at just their roster, they are probably the most talented, if not the most talented, one of the top two or three rosters in all of college football. I don't love their quarterback. He's been way up and down all year in Will Howard. They have a pretty good defense and a pretty good defense that has played well, particularly in the back end with what they've got back there. So it's going to be tough, I think, for Tennessee to throw the ball. The big question in this game is the line of scrimmage. Tennessee's run the ball on everybody all year. Can they run the ball on Ohio State? And then on the flip side of things, Ohio State's offensive line had been banged up heading into kind of the last few weeks of the regular season, and that started to affect them offensively. Tennessee's defensive front is the best one that they've seen this year. So can Tennessee's defensive front change this game? If I had to sit here and pick today, which we'll get into some of these games a little bit later in the show, like Ohio State should win this game, but the psychological advantage certainly with Tennessee, a lot of pressure on Ryan Day and Ohio State. And I do think Tennessee's defensive front has a chance to be a huge difference maker.
That would seem to be the game, right? I mean, Ohio State, offensive line shuffle, lose big time guys in Josh Simmons and Seth McLaughlin to serious injuries.
Yep.
Can they withhold? And Tennessee has to play your traditional ball control game with Sampson and a defensively strong game that starts with the run stuffing, pass rushing up front.
Yeah.
If they can do that, you would think that they would be right in it. And I think there's a decent chance that they could do that and surprise. The question, like you said, is like, what's Ohio State's bounce back factor, and how deflated are they by what happened against Michigan? Does Ryan Day get a bounce back factor here from a very talented team, or did Michigan deflate their tires entirely?
Well, here's where the crowd, I think, could factor in.
And for the fan element, it sounds like Michigan deflated their tires entirely.
It does sound like
40% of the seats are going to be orange.
And here's where the crowd, I think, could become a factor. Like, if you're Ohio State, you better get off to a quick start in this game. Because if you don't, and let's say Tennessee gets out to an early lead, and especially if they're struggling offensively, well, first off, the Tennessee fans in the building are going to be going crazy. And then the Ohio State fans, who are already on thin ice with you anyway, it could get ugly in there. So I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Yeah, when they set up home games in this, I don't think anybody was envisioning this immediate scenario with a team like on a downturn and another hungry team that's looking at it like, hey, this may be our one game. We're going to go crazy to try to boost. So right away you have a very odd scenario that changes the potentially the visual dynamic and the home field dynamic, which makes it all the more intriguing and that much better TV, conceivably.
On the other hand, there are a lot of people picking Tennessee to win this game, if not win, hang in there close with Ohio State, which scares the daylights out of me when you think about what I said to begin this segment, and that is Ohio State is probably the most talented team in the country, and that does matter at the end of the day.
Of course. Here's the other thing. Like, I was going to use this as a rant, but we don't really have rant time. I don't want to hear people, like, these games may all not be good. You know, the matchups aren't great by any means or anything like that. But don't complain about the setup of this whole deal. It is superior to what the alternative was. We haven't been watching meaningless bowl games. And we haven't seen a ton of guys check out to go start getting ready for the combine to not risk getting hurt. We're about to see meaningful games with consequences featuring the best players in college football. So are there downsides to the setup? Yeah, there are downsides to any setup. Is this superior to what we watched last year? and the guy and the players who weren't involved in those games? Absolutely. So can it be tinkered with and made better? For sure.
And it needs to be.
Well, you got meaningful games featuring the best players in the meaningful games. It's better.
And I'll
way
say,
better.
As somebody who kind of hated this idea to start with, going to 12 teams, I still don't know that I love it. But now that we're on the precipice of it and it's starting today, I'm pretty fired up to watch these games this weekend. So I'm with you. Embrace it. It's meaningful college football. The playoff games on home fields, it's going to be fun to watch. I'm with Joe. Like, they're never going to do this because of the money involved. I think you need to have more playoff games on campus and then get to the neutral site stuff later, like into the semifinals of it. And they're not going to do that because of the money involved. But I'm excited to watch it this weekend. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Tennessee and Ohio State throughout the show today. I got some quarterback options that some have floated out there that I want to get PK's thoughts on for the Titans coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. Rex Road out today, covering some Indiana Notre Dame football tonight. PK, I looked at the temperature. I think it's going to be in the 20s and, like, chance of snow tonight for Joe. So, hope he enjoys that. Should be good, some good stuff.
Should open a window right in front of him. That'd be great.
It would be. Looking forward to that game. So, some options for the Titans at quarterback as they move forward here. I have no idea what the plan is for the Titans, whether it's a veteran QB or going the draft route. We'll see what happens on that front. I want to throw a few names at you that we've not discussed a ton yet that could potentially be out there. And some others have thrown this out there. Jeremy Fowler has made a couple of connections here too. So I want to get your thoughts on this. So the three guys that kind of come to mind here that I don't think are locks to be available, but could be: Derek Carr in New Orleans. And there's some contractual stuff there. And I think he's got a $40 million guarantee next year, but only $10 million of it is guaranteed with the way his contract is set up. And then if he fails a physical, I think the rest of it is at that point. So there's some injury protection.
He's got a $51.5 million cap number.
Correct.
And a $50.1 million. They could save $400,000 by parting ways with him in terms of dead money.
Right.
If they go one more year, they could get that number down to $28
million. Right.
So it seems like that would be the prudent thing to do. That they're $70 million effectively over the salary cap next year. Now, we know the Saints always find a way to manipulate this cap stuff, but going to have a new coach there, got to make a quarterback decision, but also, you know, what can you swallow economically?
So there's Derek Carr. There's Matthew Stafford with the Rams. By the way, Rams are coming on. They've gotten healthier. Puka Nacua back in the lineup. Cooper Kupp's back in there. And since those guys have come back in, they're starting to win games. They're in first place in their division, and they're probably going to win their division and make the playoffs. So we'll see what that looks like. There has been some thought this year that maybe this could be the last year of Stafford in L.A. They can move on from him after this year. We'll see what happens.
And
there,
he's got the same thing. Yep. You know, he's got $49.3 million dead money, and they've got $47 million in space. So basically, if they tried to move on from him, it would take up all of their cap room. Again, you manipulate things, but only so much. I mean, Stafford would be great. You know, he's older and he's not at the – you're not getting the best version of Stafford.
No.
But, you
still
know,
pretty
you
darn
could
good.
Get 2 years of Stafford, who would probably, you know, you could shape the contract in a way that – in a favorable way. You get 2 years of Stafford, draft somebody next year to sit behind him for a year. Stafford and Carr have both worked with Callahan.
Yep.
You know, I think some of these are best case scenarios. Carr's obviously not a terrific quarterback, but he's got some things in him that at his best you've really liked. He's got an impressive arm, and he's had some success. And if you're talking about Carr versus Levis, I mean, that's a night and day situation.
And then the last one that Jeremy Fowler, in his kind of mailbag the other day that they do with ESPN, mentioned this in passing, basically. But he talked about Rodgers and how Aaron Rodgers has been, quote-unquote, connected to the Titans in the past. Now, how much he's been actually connected, I don't know. But I do feel like, depending on who they hire at head coach, and you never know what the Jets are going to do, but I think there's a chance that they move on from him after this year and he could be out there.
I think there's a good chance that they move on from him, but I don't think there's any chance they would bring him here. He's connected because he has a home here,
right?
Which is ridiculous. Like, player geography plays such a little factor in, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers lives here. Well, then we got to consider him. Because if he had to ride a plane to come here and buy a condo, then we wouldn't consider him.
Well,
that's silly. I mean, the guy demands so much control of what's going on, and so much of a dictator of your roster. All right, you sign him. You got to sign Alan Lazard, and I want this guy and that guy, and
bring Randall Cobb out of retirement.
And I'm going to have a say in the play caller and all of that. And he's just crazy. I mean, to a degree, his press conferences are a national event. He's going on McAfee and saying stuff, and you might be willing to accept that if he was like going out there and lighting it up,
right?
But we've all seen the Jets play this year, and he's a shell of what you think. You know this better than anybody. I mean, you watched his career.
Yeah.
Watch him now, and you think what?
I mean, it's a huge drop-off from what he was. Now, he's played better the last few weeks here. The bottom line on this, and I 100% believe this, even if the Titans were interested in him, which I don't think they will be, but let's say for the sake of argument that they looked at all their options and they said, you know what? We think a year of Aaron Rodgers is the best thing for us here. I don't think he'd come here. Like, I think before coming to a team that he knew you didn't have a chance to win a Super Bowl with, he'd retire. Like, I think he's only playing if he feels like he has a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. And you can laugh at the way it's played out with the Jets, because I realize he's done almost zero winning there. But looking at that roster when he went there, a lot of people were talking about them in the Super Bowl. That would not be the case here with the Titans. I think he would retire before he came here.
And he needs to be connected, probably. He and Brinker probably know each other, but they don't have, I wouldn't imagine, some big connection. Certainly not the kind of connection he had with Hackett, who he got hired there, and all of that. I think he's going to have trouble finding a spot. I mean, I think most teams have looked at what's gone on with the Jets and said, count me out on anything like that. I'll take my chances finding an alternative. He just hasn't played well enough there to make anything worth
it. Well, yeah, you got to weigh the circus with the level of play on the field as to what's worth it. And when you're winning back-to-back MVPs when he was on McAfee, that's one thing. When you're not and you've fallen off the table a little bit, that's another. So I'm interested to see what
it doesn't move well anymore. Now, I think part of his sales pitch, if he's really dying to play, is that a second year off the Achilles, he'll be different. But a second year off the Achilles is going to be what, 42?
It's 41, and he'll be 42 next year.
Yeah. I just think it's a tough sale. Now, if you put Mahomes or Allen or other premier quarterbacks of his era, who he's older than, in a similar circumstance, and if their game drifts when they're 42, but they don't come with the circus and ayahuasca reports and
Netflix documentaries and all that stuff.
Documentaries and retreats and all of that, I think they'll have an easier time of it. But I just I don't see it. There's too much of a the number one thing is it's too much of a demand. I don't think he's coming in demanding, but too much of an expectation of control of the entire offensive operation, from what you're running to who you're running it with.
Yep. So what veteran quarterback options are realistic? We'll get more into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Get some thoughts on a couple of names that we've thrown out there at the quarterback position already. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday for the pregame show, 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 16 matchup against the Colts, give you the latest updates before the game. Pregame show presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Speaking of Stilly, he'll be with us coming up at 7 o'clock here on the program. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. So we just threw out Derek Carr, Aaron Rodgers, Matthew Stafford. I don't know that I would put Rodgers in the realistic category, but I guess that depends on who you ask. What about the other two? Do you feel like Carr and or Stafford could be realistic for the Titans? Because if not, you get back into some of the veteran names that we've thrown out there before, and that list is not overly impressive. Well, if you're Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, the Titans looking at it.
I mean, Darnold is the realistic name in terms of acquirability. And the question there is, you know, has he turned a corner and is this the guy he is, or is he having an outlier season? I mean, he's certainly showing that he's capable of doing some things that he hasn't done in the past. And I would expect that for his next team, if he is on a different team, he will play a much better brand of quarterback if they are smart about the situations that they put him in and what they ask him to do. Two others that could come free. Kirk Cousins, yep, has the same difficulty getting out of a contract. He would leave $65 million in dead money for Atlanta, who's $9 million in the hole. But they've got Michael Penix, and Cousins obviously has had turnover difficulties. But second year off a serious injury, Achilles, right? You know, a steady veteran who could conceivably come and settle things down. I understand the interception thing this year, but you would expect him to be better. All of these guys, you know, are going to need the same thing that Levis needed in terms of much better pass protection.
Yep.
And time, which, you know, is priority one for the Titans in conjunction with getting themselves a new quarterback. Justin Fields is going to be more easily available,
yep,
here. And, you know, he did reasonably good work for the Steelers at the beginning of the season, but they weren't sticking with him when Russell Wilson was available to return. So he's a more realistic option to acquire. So, you know, looking at this list, if one of them could be let go or dealt by your current team with the salary cap implications, you know, they're not terrible options compared to, you know, what we're considering. They're expensive. They're old for the most part, or they're raw in the case of Fields.
Yep.
And they're going to be expensive for you, which changes, you know, kind of the structure of your salary. But listen, you know, this idea of having a young quarterback who doesn't take up a lot of your cap and lets you spend elsewhere, how many Super Bowl teams have or hard-charging deep playoff runs have we seen from teams with this formula? That's a dream scenario, but we haven't seen it pan out.
Like Russell Wilson with the Seahawks did it. Like, I'm trying to remember when Mahomes got his contract and when he won the first one. It was close, but I don't remember if that was before or after the first Super Bowl. But to your point, it hasn't happened often.
The fact of the matter is, if you're going to be good, you have to account for paying for a quarterback, and you used to say a big time quarterback. I'm not saying teams without a big time quarterback are doing it, but I'm saying the formula is you're going to have a big salary cap slot and big cash for your quarterback, pretty much no matter who he is.
Yeah.
If you're a playoff team. There aren't too many teams that are going with a guy who's on his first contract very far in the playoffs. And if he is, he's right on the verge of, you know, maybe third year, fourth year, Josh Allen was doing it, you know, Mahomes, yep. whatever, but they're right there. And it's really only 3 years because at the third year you're getting the big contract.
No doubt. And we've heard from some Titans fans, we'll probably continue to hear from Titans fans that say, I don't really want to waste time with a veteran quarterback for a year or two, particularly a veteran quarterback that's not very good, when you could just draft the next one and then start that young process. My response to that would be, I'm cool with drafting a young quarterback if you feel like he's the right guy. But I'm looking at this class right now, and I'm just not blown away by any of them, really. Like, let's say the Titans lose out here, and they're in a position to get the quarterback of their choice, which I don't think is likely, by the way, but let's say they do. And it's Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward. Like, all these guys have their warts. Shedeur Sanders is accurate. He's good. He's had a great year in Colorado. There's the Deion stuff that comes with him. And there's also the fact that he's not very big. Like, he's just not a huge, prototypical, like, big-sized guy at quarterback with some of the intangibles that you're looking for there. Cam Ward makes some ridiculous throws. Like, he's got a lot of ability to him. There's also some Will Levis to him. Like, he'll make some decisions and some throws sometimes where you're like, man, what are you doing? Like, what was that? And then we've talked about the other guys. Like, Milroe was way up and down. Carson Beck has not had anywhere near the year that people expected from him heading into the year. There's just not a ton of great options there. So I understand if you're a Titans fan and you say, why would we waste our time with, you know, a Justin Fields or a, you know, Joe Flacco or Jameis Winston for a year when you could go draft another quarterback? And my response to that would be, you may not be in a position to draft the quarterback you want. And also, if this group is back next year at coach and at the front office, which we've talked about, they know they're going to have to win next year. And what's your best path to doing that if you're them? Probably a guy that's been in the league.
Yeah. So I was talking with Mike Herndon yesterday on my pod, that just spurred by the whole "are the Titans soft" thing. And I asked him, you know, and he's very draft forward. You know, if it's not Sanders or Ward, you know, who intrigues you in the draft? And he went to Dillon Gabriel.
Yep.
You know, now Dillon Gabriel's a guy who's played a lot. You know, and there's a lot to be said for guys who played a lot. You got to stay away, I think, from an Anthony Richardson type. Now, Dillon Gabriel, you know, seems to me to be viewed as a second or even third day pick.
Yep.
I tend to be wary of second and third. I'm wary of everything, right?
Sure.
So I'm scared of second or third day pick, but, you know, you can't draft a second or third day pick and think he's your franchise guy. He's got to be part of some kind of mix.
Well, and Dillon Gabriel, I think, is 6 foot, 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Not that you can't play good quarterback. Like, you know, Drew Brees not the biggest guy. I get that. So, Russell Wilson's not the biggest guy. So,
Bryce Young. I mean, he's not going to come in looking like a high school equipment guy.
Right. You know, nobody's going to, you know, confuse Kyler Murray for Shaq out there. So, I get all that. Like, it's becoming more and more of a thing where you can play quarterback and not have the prototypical size that you're looking for. But I think the general point is there's significant concern and or flaws with a lot of these quarterbacks that are coming out in the draft, which is why people view the draft class the way that they do.
And what you're going to need with all of these guys, but certainly somebody like Dillon Gabriel, is a patient approach that's going to let him have, you know, at least as many games as Will Levis has had, 18, 19, to get close to a full evaluation and allow him growth. So, you know, I understand the be done with Will Levis, be done with Will Levis, get the next guy. But if the next guy is somebody like Dillon Gabriel, your dream is to sit him for a while and let him learn and then be really patient with him for 17-plus games. And so you're 2 years in before you're getting a real feel for what you got. So it's a hurry up and wait situation.
Yep.
The desire to replace and be done with. I understand where people are with Levis, but I don't know how many of them understand that things are not solved on opening day 2025 necessarily.
Got some of your questions to get to on the Titans and the future of the quarterback position. We'll do that coming up next. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. Charles Robinson at 7:30. TD at 8. Lots coming your way here on Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. It is bowl season, and the Game Nashville Sports Network, your home for the college football bowl games and the college football playoff presented by Twin Peaks and Parma Tractor and Equipment. Sports Talk 8:30 will have the Cure Bowl, Ohio versus Jacksonville State at 11 a.m. in the Gasparilla Bowl, Tulane in Florida. And then tonight, the college football playoff first round between Indiana and Notre Dame. That coming up at 7 o'clock. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. Stilly will be with us coming up at 7 o'clock, taking your thoughts, your Titans questions for PK.
Still Billy, please.
Yeah, still Billy. Permanently changing his name. K. Dottie on YouTube throwing this out there. We've talked a lot about the Titans not having a ton of draft capital. You've given up the third-round pick for L'Jarius Sneed. Wanting to know if this is the year that Rand Carthon will finally trade down in the draft. Now, obviously, we don't know where they're going to finish in the draft order here. And I think it's easy, PK, to have a plan to trade down in the draft. You have to have a partner that's willing to do it. And then, you know, who's available to you? Like, does it make more sense if you're sitting there with a third pick and maybe the two quarterbacks are gone? Does it make more sense to trade down at that point, or does it make more sense to take Travis Hunter at that point? Like, that's what you got to weigh when you're in that spot.
I think the organization would like to acquire as much draft capital as it can and knows that that it's at that point. We haven't seen Rand make a trade down in two seasons, and there have been times that it seemed like it was the right move. So they need to add that to their repertoire. Travis Hunter is a very good player, obviously, but Titans aren't desperate at quarterback, cornerback by any means. And the more I've talked to people, he's viewed, I think, largely as a cornerback who's going to play some receiver.
He fully believes he's playing both in the NFL, but that's, I think, going to be hard to do on a meaningful basis in terms of the amount of snaps you'd be playing.
And, people say best player available. You can do best player available once you're stocked everywhere. They are not stocked everywhere. And I think if you asked where are they deepest, cornerback is absolutely the spot where they are deepest. And so I don't think Hunter is a good fit based on their roster. I also don't think they're in range of Hunter. I mean, I think he's top three.
Yeah, I would agree. And, maybe they finish in the top three. But, again, you're going to have, the Raiders lost 10 or 11. I can't remember if it's 10 or 11 in a row. Either way.
Big game this weekend between the Jaguars and the Raiders.
Huge one. Could have a big impact.
Draft implication game.
On what happens.
Relegation level game.
Yes. I'm sure people are very excited to watch that one. I got one person wondering, would the Titans consider trading for one of these veteran quarterbacks with the price tag associated with them when they could just offer a package for Hendon Hooker for the Detroit Lions? Your thoughts on that?
Well, look, Hooker is one of a couple of, Jake Browning in Cincinnati is another. But you're presuming that these teams are just willing to part with their backup depth. I mean, it's just this idea that automatically you could trade for anybody you want, like the other team is obligated to give them to you. So, Jared Goff is not a permanent long term. If Detroit really likes Hendon Hooker and sees him as their quarterback of the future, well, we're seeing what happens when you don't have a quarterback plan. If Detroit has a long term quarterback plan, who's to say that they're dealing him?
Yep.
Who's to say that Cincinnati, which has a lot of problems, is willing to deal its backup quarterback who did reasonable work in place of Joe Burrow when he got hurt? You know, as soon as Nashville really has a problem with this idea of depth. You know, I got a lot of people who want to trade a quarterback, a cornerback. I keep not saying cornerback clearly. Want to trade a cornerback as soon as the Titans have depth at cornerback. It's kind of a baseballish thing. Like, well, we have a good bullpen.
Yep.
and we need a third baseman. That's more of a baseballish thing. The Titans finally have one position that's solid. So you don't de-solidify that position in order to go get something else automatically. And certainly at quarterback, where we're seeing what happens when you have a bad situation, another team's not saying, well, I'm going to go, especially like Detroit, who's very good. You know, they're not desperate for something. What do the Titans have that they could give them?
That's the thing.
A $17.5 million Harold Landry who's unproductive?
Right. Like, that's the thing. Like, what is – let's say you're interested in Hendon Hooker. Okay, that's fine. What's the right thing to give up?
They
because,
spent
like,
a
if
third?
You're Detroit, like, you're going to have to give me something pretty good for you to give up on your quarterback that you've put time and effort into, and who knows, could be a part of your long-term plan. And if you're the Titans, like, in order to make that worth it for Detroit – are you having to give up a price that's too much for a guy that is totally unproven?
They spent a third on him?
Yeah.
Was he a third round pick?
Yeah.
So you'd think they'd want a round better than that. Well, you're going to spend at least. Well, you can't spend a second on Hendon Hooker right now.
He's never taken a meaningful snap in the league.
I wouldn't think. So are they taking that? I think, you know, it's complicated.
And look, I don't know what Hendon Hooker is at the NFL level. Like, he was very accurate at Tennessee. He's got some good mobility to him. You know, he was pretty good in the preseason for them, but it's preseason NFL football. Like, what does that mean? Like, I don't know what he is at the NFL level. But to your point, like, you shouldn't be really, I think, unless you feel like it's a 100% answer for you at the quarterback spot for the next couple years. That's the other thing. You already don't have a ton of draft capital, so you're going to give up some more draft capital to then go get your quarterback at that point. Then look at the rest of your roster. Like, it's just not a great spot to be in via trade.
Well, I'm all right giving up something for a guy that you're sure is your quarterback solution, because you have to have a quarterback solution. And to me, Blake Bedingfield suggesting him as a solution takes a homerism out of it. Blake doesn't care that he went to Tennessee or care about any of that. Now, he does care about that he went to Tennessee once he's here because he thinks there'll be a lot of pressure to play him above other people, whether he deserves it or not, based on the fan stuff. But, I'm just not convinced Detroit's, saying, here, have a gift-wrap quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Still Billy will be with us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the week that has been for the Tennessee Titans. His thoughts on Tennessee, Ohio State as well. That coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.